Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this first Wednesday in Advent is our Gospel reading, St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The preface, the prologue, the very beginning of the new creation. That's John's point. That was the Holy Spirit's point here when he had John pen this. This is the Genesis chapter 1 of the new world order, the new creation. And so we pray. Teach us your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Open our hearts and minds to receive it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many years did the human race wait for redemption? For rescue from the consequences of their sin? It is unknown. A guess would be from 100,000 to 6,000 years. That is the age of the universe. No, not billions of years old, only thousands. And that rescuer, that rescue would be by a baby. Eve thought so. When Cain was born, she says, I have begotten a man, the Lord. She said in Genesis 4:1. That's the Hebrew, literally. But not then. We had to wait a bit longer. Was it to be Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, Joseph or Moses? No, still not yet. In fact, Moses predicts, prophesies, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. So who will he be? Just a prophet like all those who came after Moses and Elijah? No, Elijah came and went. And the new one, John the Baptist, yes, Jesus called him the prophet Elijah. Not reincarnated, not back from the dead, but the final one to come, the last Old Testament prophet before announcing the prophet. But who is this one to come? What is he? A prophet? Well, yes, of course. But what is a prophet? Answer, one who speaks God's word, the mouthpiece of God. Yes, the redemption of Israel would be a preacher, a speaker of God's word. Yet the prophet, Moses predicts, is not only the one who repeats God's word as given, but will be the very word given himself. It is a curious thing to have St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians say that the scriptures foreknew. It's Galatians 3:8. Like they were alive or something. They are. He is. You see, the writer to the Hebrews says that for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Who is this that is living and active? The one who was predicted to come. The one who God said through Isaiah the prophet would be born of a virgin. The Emmanuel, God with us. As the gospel text declares, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Jesus is the Word of God Himself. How is this possible? He is God, that's how. And all truth, full to the brim in a human body. Truth incarnate. Hear it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that had been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Not only is He the Word of God, but He is whom God created all things through. He is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father but by Him, as He is that which we are made through and remade through. That is why He came, to make all things new and good once again by His Word, by the Word of God, just like in the beginning, is now, and will be. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but My words will not pass away. So My word that comes from My mouth will not return to Me empty. Isaiah repeats God's word, what God told him to tell us, the church. So My word that comes out of My mouth, God is speaking, will not return to Me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. That is who was to come, has come, and will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, world without end. Yes, still, even if we choose to ignore, decide to reject Him, His word, that doesn't change things at all. What part will you accept? What part of Him don't you think applies to you and your life? Jesus told His disciples and the church to baptize all nations, not just Christian ones. Yes, to teach them everything He said, Genesis to Revelation, His word, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know that's not very PC, not politically correct these days. But then how did the so-called Christian countries become so? Missionaries, preachers went out and preached and baptized and taught those pagans, those Buddhists and Hindus, those Jews and Muslims, those who practice every and any religion but the one true faith. So in Christ, we the baptized, we, His little Christ, because that's what Christian means, and that's what it means to be called Christians. We are now His mouthpieces, His prophets, if you will. You privately, to your friends and families, your co-workers and neighbors, and me publicly up here. But really, no, really, this is what we are. We're all called priests in his family. We become that. A royal nation, a royal priesthood. That was the meaning of Pentecost. Hear what God's word predicted and what happened in Acts chapter 2, speaking of Pentecost. Peter stood up with the 11. You remember Peter and the disciples, they were hiding out behind locked doors. They were afraid of the Jews. And then the Holy Spirit came, and this is what happened. All of a sudden, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. On the contrary, this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy." That means to repeat God's words. It does not mean predicting the future. That's not what he's talking about. Prophecy is almost never about predicting the future. It's not telling unknown secrets. It's proclaiming God's word. So sons and daughters will speak his words because they will be their words. It will be family words that they're a part of. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and cloud and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the prophet Joel predicted, spoke God's word about this day, and St. Peter preached publicly, like I am doing, the public and regular form of prophecy that everyone, men and women and children, will speak God's word as his prophets until that last day, until his final advent ends, his second coming. Yes, you too are his prophets to tell everyone about Jesus at the proper time and place, where he has placed you, among whom he has put with you, so they too can know whom to call on to be saved from their sins and certain hell, just as you were. Thanks be to God. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.